And welcome to the Grace Hour Show, everybody. This is our podcast that comes to you from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. And we're talking about the big R, relationships, this week. And how will that go? Wow. Do we relate to each other? This is a practical program, everyone. Yes. We want to share some insights with you. With me is Philippe Siragi, and it's kind of interesting. I'm Steve Androlonis, one of the pastors here at Greater Grace, and it's really interesting. We're talking about friendship, and we don't really like each other. No.
Yes.
Oh, we just Jim is here,
so he can bring the peace.
But brothers are born for adversity, so we're going to face this adversity together, because we are brothers in Christ. Yes. But no, we just want to have a good time with you today, and hopefully you'll learn something about friendship, godly friendship, being open. Transparent. That's a word that we talked about before the program.
Yeah.
We did a little prep work here. We want to give you some insight, what friendship is, what it can be. And, you know, it's really hard to define, because we could say this is a godly friendship. And what does that mean? Does it mean that, you know, a guy that we're close with always has a Bible verse for us? Is that what that means?
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or he roots for the same football team as you, or something like that. I mean, I'm closer to those people. But anyway, but we're going to talk about this. We're going to try to address this over the next 40 minutes or so. And, you know, you can make your chat comments there. We might address them. Mm-hmm. Don't take that personally if we don't. But, you know, you could talk to each other that way, too.
Yeah.
But if we see something that's worth addressing, we'll address it. But thanks for being a part of the Grace Hour podcast today. And you can find us YouTube and Apple and Google and Spotify. And you can listen to these over and over again. And we're so thankful that our subscription base is getting larger and larger. And so hopefully today we won't do anything to drive
people
to unsubscribe
but
or defriend. Is that what it used to be? Unfriend.
Unfriend,
used to be
yes.
On Facebook, I unfriended
you.
But anyway, let's talk about that. Being a friend, not in the Facebook sense.
No,
because we're on Facebook, but being a friend, what does it mean?
Well,
it means more than that, right?
It means a lot more than that, just to, like, just the idea. So this week we're discussing biblical relationships, and our, you know, you and I are discussing friendships in that role. And it's funny how the Bible has a lot to say about friendship, particularly in the book of Proverbs, which is also so interesting because it's the book of wisdom.
Yeah.
And how friendship falls under that category. Like choosing your friends wisely, saying the things wisely, receiving the things wisely, all part in that overall idea of relationship / friendship, which when I was studying for today, I was thought this is so interesting that one of the few topics, because the Proverbs is not that broad in terms of topic, it speaks about wisdom mostly.
Yeah.
And then when he expresses what wisdom is, then then friendship is one of those.
Yeah.
And I think just to start off the conversation, when we see friendship in the Bible, where there's a lot of verses, but then there's two sides to friendship that we can talk about. Number one is, what is my benefit when I have friends, and what is my role when I have friends, right? Mm. My benefits. It can be summarized very simply. I support, encouragement, that's very clear. I know I get that, you know. And then my role is also loyalty and love in that way. So, and then what's shared in both ways is wisdom and counsel. You know, I receive wisdom and counsel from you, and you receive wisdom and counsel from me. There's one thing we don't want to think, as you said earlier, friendship has nothing to do with being hyper-spiritual.
No.
Like, okay, well, I want to be friends with you. If we, every time we sit down together or go for a coffee or something, we have to share a verse. I mean, it's part of our lives, of course. Like, you know, thinking, of course, then when I speak with my friends, and if they have some wisdom to impart from scriptures, I'm happy to receive it. But can I go to with my friends watch a movie, or go, and you were talking about games, you know, watch a football game or something? Of course I can. It doesn't have to be. So because I label something spiritual, it becomes spiritual.
Yeah.
There's three levels we can look at, and I think I'm going to add the third level to Pastor Scheller's famous two-story house.
I'm
changing the scripture.
We're going to the attic.
Oh, yeah, we're going to the attic. And so the first floor is what we know to be natural. The second floor we heard from him is the life with God, right?
Yeah.
And the mistake we think is we live in either floor. And he says, and I agree with him, that we live on both floors. Yeah. Like, you know, if I have some difficulties, then the difficulties are real. But if I have godly friendship, I can also be helped in thinking with God with the second floor. So my feet are on the ground, my head is in thinking with God. But the one third floor we don't want to live in is hyper-spirituality,
yeah,
where we're thinking that if I can put my foot in the second floor and deny reality and thinking this is a spiritual relationship.
Mm.
And then if we think this way, then you'll never be able to have a real friendship with people. Because if we need wisdom and counsel, as the Bible says we need in our friendship, that means that we are in a place where we are getting things wrong. So if I always expect my friends to be hyper-spiritual with me, or if I expect to be hyper-spiritual with my friends, we will never be able to leave the extent of what the Bible speaks as mm-hmm. biblical relationship and friendship. So there's nothing hyper-spiritual about relationship. There is a natural part and there is a spiritual part. And hopefully, when we live in the natural, we are humble enough to receive from the spiritual. And that's what I think is a good friendship in that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think that, I think like when you're talking about like thinking about like the hyper activity. I was trying to look up that verse, like because it is a verse that's kind of interesting. A man who has friends must show himself friendly.
Yes,
and that's a verse that sort of gets twisted out of context. Mm-hmm. I think maybe you've studied it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But that's a Proverbs 18:24.
Yeah.
A man who has friends must show himself friendly, and I've had some people use that verse in terms of a legalistic way, like you said, a hyper spiritual way. Well, the reason you don't have friends is you're just not really friendly.
Yeah.
And I've seen a more negative commentary on that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you have too many friends, they might take advantage of you.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like you can have like, you could, you know, the kinds of friends you have, like even when we look at the apostles, we see that Jesus had Peter, James, and John, mm-hmm. they seem to be in on more things with him than the other nine for some reason. And was there a competition? Was there a jealousy? Was there an enviousness mm-hmm. among the other ones? We don't see that in the Gospels, but we do know that like Jairus's daughter, Peter, James, and John got to see that happen. And then Jesus said, you saw something interesting, now just shut up about it.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Mount of Transfiguration. Yeah. Jesus, Peter, James, and John, you saw that, but shut up about it. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of interesting. Here were three close, sticking close to Jesus, got invited into things that others did not get invited into, mm-hmm. and yet they knew how to keep the secrets that Jesus told them to mm-hmm. keep. It's like, you know, I don't know if I'm going the same direction that you did, but I think you count yourself like there's a hyper-spiritual kind of understanding about being so friendly.
Yeah.
But really it's like, it's more of a nuts and bolts kind of existence, isn't it? Friendship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what I take from this verse, 18:24, a proverb, is it goes both ways. And I think it's the overall idea of what friendship is. Like, you know, I benefit from your friendship, you benefit from my friendship. And that way, when I need counsel, you give it to me. When you need counsel, I give it to you. We have this conversation. And I think in that way, if I were to understand this verse, that's what it means to be friendly. Like to be friendly is not to be smiling and, you know, get you coffee. So, like flatter you in one way. And then I can get some friends. If I gain friends by flattery, then obviously I won't get the right kind of friends. But if I am friendly to you, just like you're friendly to me in a biblical sense, then we learn from each other, and that's really what's amazing here. Like it benefits the both of us. You know, there's many scriptures like Ecclesiastes, for example. The reference skipped my mind. Two is better than one, and then three, a cord.
Threefold cord, not easily broken.
So, and the whole idea really is like God gave us, and he made us social. He gave us social relationships. And there is a level of intimacy. Of course, you're not with your friends like you are with your spouse and with your children. So there's the level of family and friends. These are different. But also, I think sometimes, and it's funny how I'm just thinking about this. On my way down this morning, I'm thinking, I'm going to talk about friendship today. And I better stick with scriptures because I realize I think of myself as a good friend to my friends. But also realize some of my friends told me that I'm maybe not that a good friend, you know, as well. So it puts us in the place where we're not experts, you know, apparently. And it's sad to say this way because I think when I've been told that I failed friends and I receive it, you know, I just don't see it because but I receive it, you know, it's like, and the reason why I don't see it is mostly because I have a blind spot.
Yeah.
So we're not discussing friendship as you and I are experts. We got a PhD in friendship, so we are the best ones to talk about things. I think we are learning. I'm learning. And I realize, you know, in that way, and it goes back to the conversation we had about being authentic versus being transparent. We talked about which word is best. I think transparent is better than authentic.
Better, I just think authentic is genuine. Yeah. These are words that are now like, you know,
they're
like,
trendy words.
They're trendy words, yeah. and they're rooted in like the expression of felt reality.
Yeah,
like I feel, you know, and feelings are not always reality.
Yeah, like you speak of marriage a lot, and then you talk to relationship a lot. I do that as well with young people, and you know when I do premarital counseling, I insist on the fact, and that we're talking about spouse now, but I mean it applies to friends as well. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have a commitment to each other, and we have a few, and one of them is like there's not one day that will pass that we don't say to each other, "I love you." Not texting, not "I love you" when I leave, but looking each other in the eye and say "I love you." It's like the reason why we do that is there's several reasons why. Number one is if I say to you every day, then I didn't build up enough prep, let's put it this way, in our lives. There's only one day of things, because the last time I told you I love you, I meant it and I really love you. So we didn't have enough of saying that I love you to build up some history that we have to, you know, that's going to put this distance between us. The other thing is also the fact that it affirms that to each other every single day. I don't have to question whether or not we love each other. Now, when I say that to young people, you know the first reaction that I get? Not the first, but one of the major reactions that I get is, well, what about if I want to be authentic? And I say, okay, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that, sometimes I don't feel like I love my girlfriend or then my wife-to-be. It's interesting because I agreed sometimes I don't feel this way. Like, for
That's
example,
right, yeah.
like we live in the, you know, I live in the morning and then, you know, she lives in the morning, whatever, we both leave. We go our separate ways for the day. And like my wife and I have been working in a house we bought like the last 5 months. It's been a construction zone and that put a strain on a lot of, you know, of our lives. So that puts a tension in your relationship because now I want to finish this and she, but I haven't chosen the color. So we have this conversation. So like we don't argue in the sense, but it brings a tension. Like, I'm annoyed, she's annoyed, and now it's time to leave the house. I don't feel like I love you and you don't feel like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I tell them that's the difference for me between transparent and authentic. Transparent is we love each other despite. Authentic is I don't feel like I love you, so I won't say it to you. But I'm asking them a question. If you leave the home, or if your wife-to-be or your wife leaves the home and dies in a car accident, the last feeling you had with her is, I don't love you. That's how you felt. Now, will you react to her death in a car accident the way you felt that morning? I don't like her, so I don't care if she died. Or will you be devastated? Oh, I'd be completely devastated. So you did love her when you left the house and didn't feel like it. So the feelings that push me to be authentic and not saying I love you is nothing. It's just the way I felt in the moment.
Yeah.
Because if I lose my wife for real after thinking I don't like her, I will still be devastated because I really did love her. Yeah. So being authentic and transparent are two different things. Being transparent is I can say to my wife, and that's, I think it brings the beauty in the relationship, I love you despite you love me despite, or I won't say to you because I'm authentic and I don't feel like it. That to me is very childish. And it's the same thing in relationships, in our friendships. And I don't want this for my life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, obviously, you know, because if my wife was sitting here, maybe she would roll her eyes like, okay, you're painting the perfect picture over here. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you mentioned at the opening of the show that the book that seems to speak about real friendship is the wisdom book of Proverbs, which is saying, like, you know, what the way that you choose your friends is important. And so one of those things is open rebuke is better than secret love.
Yes.
Like, you know, that would be to use the term that we're talking about, that would be, you know, being authentic. You see something wrong in somebody's life and you're transparent enough with them and you're close enough in the relationship of intimacy that you could say, you know, you shouldn't do it that way. You know, let's talk about the color scheme in your new house here. Yeah. Like, you know, that's just not going to work. And you came to some sort of agreement, but you may have had a choice like, well, this is the kind of color I want. And she openly rebuked you. That would never work. We could never walk through the front door. That was, you know, the kisses of an enemy, it says, are deceitful. They are molten. You know, I've heard this story about that, you know, the meeting of Jesus in Gethsemane with Judas, that Judas profusely kissed him.
Yeah.
It was like an expression of false friendship, or the betrayal was already entered into him, but he had to like express like this kind of intimacy that was not rooted in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, like, you know, when you make a covenant, and you make a covenant in your friendship, like, you know, it says, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness, mm-hmm. and Abraham became the friend of God. And I think, like, that's like a big question, like, because when we get to, you know, Abraham and the relationship with God, when we get to that point in Genesis, it changes the dynamic of religion on the earth in human society. Mm-hmm. This is an anthropology. We're in anthropology right here. What kind of God human relationships existed in those days before Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees? Abraham heard a voice. He knew the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
This voice of God said something that seems totally outrageous. I promised you a son. I gave you a promised son. Your wife was 90. You were 99 when you had the son. Now I'm asking you to do something as my friend, sacrifice that son,
mm-hmm.
because I don't want him to get between our friendship. And Abraham knew the voice of God and said, okay, you've asked me to do something that's, you know, really culturally relevant. It wasn't like unusual for people to offer babies or sons to the gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham heard that voice and he was about to do it. And then he heard the voice again.
Yeah.
And that voice said something different. Now we could bring that down to a small level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Francois says, I'd really like to go up to this like little Chinese restaurant. And then on your way there, she realizes that just two blocks away is actually an Indian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she has changed her mind.
Yes.
Like, you know, and we're saying like, these are friendship.
Yes.
God asked a big thing of Abraham, but Abraham could hear the voice of God and knew the same voice was saying to do something different. Don't kill the babe. Don't kill the boy.
Yes.
Francois says, I want Chinese. And then she says, no, I want Indian.
Yes.
Ed, you are friends and you decide, okay, that voice is the same voice.
Yes.
And now we actually change it. You know, it's like what I'm saying. It's just like, this is, you know, I think knowing the voice of friendship is, you know, just like we know the voice of God is much bigger than, you know, comes through intimacy, listening to God and hearing from God and living in that relationship in a depth that can weather changes of mind.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's the ideas also. Yeah. Like, and I think it's the same way. Like, I think for me, we go back to the idea of transparency versus being authentic. And in a way, like, being transparent, it means I don't hide my weaknesses. Being authentic, I allow myself to live in the flesh. Like, you have to live, you know. So if I hide my weaknesses, then I don't have true friends. Because I'm giving a wrong image of who I am in real. I'm not trying to expose my weaknesses. But if I'm living with my friend, they'll see my weaknesses, and hopefully they'll love me despite my weaknesses. And some people do, and some people don't. That's just the way it is, and that's fine, because I'm sure I'm doing the same with other people. Sometimes, you know. But on the other hand, if I use my friends to be authentic, quote unquote, in the way we're using it this morning, by allowing me to live in the flesh and you have to accept that, then I don't think this is biblical at all. That would be the wrong way of understanding what we're saying. So how does that apply to our relationship in one way? Somebody comes to me, or I go to someone about something that I struggle with. That is very good that I'm able to find someone. And I think we heard from Brad Hembrick this week that you don't have to be a certified licensed counselor to be a friend and have ears open to help people. And also, when people do, be thankful that they had the courage and openness, you know, to come to you about it. And maybe that says something about your disposition in that way. And that's very good. Now, so I need to be able to do that. I need to be able to receive that. If my friendship turns to transparency, to authenticity in the wrong sense of the term, meaning now we're going to build our relationship based on the fact that, oh, I have an addiction, you have an addiction, about, let's talk about our addictions all the times. And I'm not talking about drugs or anything. I'm saying this because I know someone who I've been talking to has an addiction with pornography. And as well, this friend of mine, you know, we get along well because we both have the same problem. And I'm thinking, I see what you're saying. You feel comfortable in discussing it with someone who already has an issue. You don't feel the shame. But make sure that you don't build a relationship around that, because that's not a way to build a relationship around the weakness. Weaknesses allow us to be transparent with each other. Mm-hmm. I know you're struggling because I'm struggling, and I know what helped me, so let me tell you what did help me, and then vice versa. If I build a relationship around being my authentic self, as you said earlier, then I open the door for sharing my flesh, and you're sharing your flesh, and realize, you know, it's not that bad, actually. You know, maybe we can share that. Just like we have a hobby, now we can share our weaknesses as being part of who we are, and we embrace it. And instead of challenging each other in transparency, we actually encourage each other to stay being stuck in what we do, for the sake of authenticity. And that's a problem, I think. And that's where, for me, that's where a friendship becomes helpful versus becomes unhelpful, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. Like if your shared experience is the basis of your friendship, then there's something dangerous that's happening. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, suppose, you know, you showed me all the details about the heart issue you had.
Yes.
And there's all this data. And I'm like, what do doctors know? Am I being a good friend to you? You know, am I being a good friend to you? It's like, you know, this is what's happening. And this is, you know, I'm just saying, you know, what's that? Should I tell you to go to the doctor? Should you listen to your doctor? Am I, you know, open rebuke? No, I'm not going to the doctor. Yeah. You know, like, you know, okay, you don't go to the doctor. And then, you know, I think we all get to that point in some, you know, in some relationships where, like, our voice is like not heard anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big question. Like, because now, do you feel hesitant to say the thing that is true that needs to be said at a certain point? Mm-hmm. Like, or are you going to secretly just keep your opinions to yourself for the sake of the relationship, which is not a friendship anymore? Now it's like, sort of like you said, it's like an acquaintance, and you just don't want to rock the boat anymore. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, like, I think like Jesus and Peter had like a very close relationship, and Peter felt he could say to Jesus, hey, no, this stuff about the cross, no, 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 Jesus. And Jesus could say back to him, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
And like, did the relationship fall apart? No.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship, you know, survived a crisis there. And an even worse crisis later on when Peter denied knowing Jesus. He's not my friend at all. Yeah. No, what are you talking about? No, 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 no. You know, he's not my friend. Cursing. I call a curse down on myself. He's not my friend.
Yeah.
And then Jesus, you know, restores the friendship. You know, there's a higher spiritual element there.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm thinking like you're saying, you know, if we can't, you know, if we can't like expose or not expose, that's If we can't address a weakness in somebody, then what kind of friendship do we have?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, of course, and we're not saying, and that's not what you're saying. What we're saying is we should be able to. That does not mean we have to do it every time.
No, right? No.
We're not telling you today, well, you know, everything.
Well, that's a good friend knows timing,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes.
Because the other thing we learn from the book of Proverbs about speaking to each other is three things. Number one is what to say, when to say it, number two, and number three, whether I should say it at all or not. And that's a big one as well, because I think we know sometimes what to say and we okay with waiting to say it in the right time. But sometimes we don't forget that maybe sometimes I'm ready to say something I shouldn't. That's also a third point that we see in the book of Proverbs. Not everything that sounds good or that is good is worth mentioning also. Like so I'm going to give you an example. With my wife, right? So as a joke, she tells many of our friends, you know, I got Philip as a rough product, you know, like I had to chisel around and then, you know, so that as a joke, like she had to work on me for me to be presentable, you know, which is totally right. I think it's most guys feel this way because our wives are very,
We want to talk to our audience. Do you think Philippe is kind of rough around the edges? He is French. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm not as rough on the edges that I used to be.
There you go. So, thank you, Francoise, for making him the man that he is. Hallelujah. All right, go ahead.
So in that way, so where was I going with this?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's me. I just love my train of thought. So the idea is so this is also like a friendship, right? But she chooses, you know, what she wants to share with me about what I need to hear. Could she have something to tell me 20 times a day? Yeah, of course. The way I do this, the way I don't do that, the way I say, you know, so the way I behave, the way I drive, you know, because of my attitude or my response to someone or with my lack of the response thereof. I think our wives, they have good heads on their shoulders and they look at us and they can see shortcomings every 5 minutes if they want to. But then they decide sometimes to speak up on things and because they believe. And I think that's also a great proverb approach to things. My wife doesn't feel like she has to tell me everything. But when she does, I pay attention because she chooses to say the things. It matters to her and it should matter to me. So I think that's also a good value in friendship is not, you know, some things need to be said. Now, so I see an issue sometimes in my own life and I've seen that with other people. Sometimes I choose not to say something and then I feel resentful for not saying it. And then I feel like, I'm drifting apart in my relationship because I have some axe to grind or I have an issue in my heart. And that also is something that is not wise at all because then we lose the valuable relationship because that's placed in our lives. And that's also something that we need to be aware of. And sometimes we are blind to this at all. And that's also something that we need to ask God to show us. And that's how speaking the truth in love becomes a very important part of our relationships, right?
Yeah, it does. It really does. So, I think, you know, we're having some questions here about identity, obedience, will God tell you to do something? Will a friend tell you that, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that? That could happen. I mean, the consistent relationship you have with Christ is the one that you nurture in your quiet time. So, your friendship with God, the way that you hear God's voice, the way that he speaks to you through the scripture and from your pulpit, you know, that's really important kind of thing. There was a trend when my wife and I were raising our children about, you know, friendship parenting. And I was like, I can't be a friend. You know, I can't be a friend to my children yet. Now, I am a friend to my children. Yeah. They're in their 30s and they have much more wisdom on certain things than I have, you know, electronics for one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I have an iPhone 9 or something like that. What are they up to now? 16 or 17? Maybe I have an iPhone 10. I don't know. But, you know, you should get a different one. Why? You know, I'm like comfortable with this. And they said, you know, but, you know, I would think that, you know, again, like we said, like friends, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's really pointing to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's your ultimate friend. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Our friendship, the friendships that we develop, I mean, you're saying here, laughter, prayer, tears, like those kind of things happen. Mm. You know, your pastor you know, is he your friend? Yes, but he's also different. Like if he's getting something from God that, you know, you want him to be real from God with you. So if he's, you know, like, you know, maybe you don't eat lunch with him like every week. That doesn't happen in like a larger church. You don't get to have lunch with your pastor all the time.
Yeah.
You know, here you can come and, you know, the pastor has lunch and shares things at our cafe and everything like that. But like, you know, your identity with being in Christ is really, do you have that solidified? And if you have a friendship, if you're trying to gain a friendship to make your identity more than it is, then you have a problem with Christ and God. And like a friendship could leave you very, a friend could leave you very disappointed because they do something that you didn't think they should do. So I don't know. Right. I don't know if I'm answering this question right, but
yeah, I think it goes with, I mean, the questions we get on the comments board are pretty much the same. Like, I think one is like my vertical has to be strong and that will take care of my horizontal. I agree with you, Marion, to an extent, meaning that as long as we don't understand this with a third floor, I'm going to take, you know, I'm praying and reading my Bible and then that will take care of everything else. It does and it does not. Like, we can be hyper spiritual. Like, if a guy says, the Bible does say that he takes care of the lilies of the valley, and he thinks, so I don't have to go to work. No, you can pay your bills, you can raise your children, you can feed your family. It's going to be a problem for, you know, husbands and wife, whoever needs to work. So there's a threshold where we understand the fact that we're not going there because that's hyper spiritual. And in the same way, I cannot say, well, I have a strong relationship with God, and therefore that will take care of the horizontal completely. It will strengthen the horizontal, and if I have one, but if I don't, if I work on my vertical with God and I never work on my horizontal, there's no horizontal to be strengthened.
Yeah.
So we have to be practical in the sense, like, you know, if I say friends call me, hey, can I talk to you? You know, can we hang out together? Oh, no, I got a Bible study. I need to, it's my 4 hours of meditation today. Would I have friends after 6 months of doing this? I don't think I will, you know, so, and God does not want us to think this way in the wrong way. Now, if I don't have a vertical with God, then my horizontals will be disproportionately big or not strong enough. I absolutely agree with you on this one. So yes, and I think it's true. Like valuing a friendship, a relationship, have the opportunity to listen, to laugh with them, absolutely. And I think it's okay. So we all go through things in our lives, and sometimes we need. You know, someone to bring the laughter, to bring the lightness. And we see that, you know, like I had the meeting the other day, you know, Pastor Taggart, myself, Pastor Scheller, we met the three of us. We had some conversations, and it was the day of when Pastor Scheller's, it was June 5th, when he was his 50 years anniversary of his ordination. He was ordained June 5th, 1975. So I told him, and I started joking about it. He says, you know that when but you were ordained, I was not even 3 years old. I was still in my diapers. So we were laughing about this. I was laughing about this. Because the conversation we had to have in the meeting was kind of heavy. And we didn't want to spoil the day in that way. So we had some fun. We shared some jokes. And then we dealt with what we had to deal with. And I think being a friend like this sometimes is very helpful. And then you don't have to be a buddy with someone to be their friends. I think it's also a common mistake. If we don't share a platform on every way, you know, then like, if we're not buddies, like, you know, if I cannot be myself with you all the time, define being yourself. Like again, we go back to transparency and authenticity. I don't have to be a buddy with my pastor. I can be a friend to him, just like vice versa. I don't have to be a buddy. My wife doesn't want a buddy. She wants a husband.
Yeah.
So every relationship is different. And I think sometimes people have real good expectations in our relationship. And then we should be careful about that. We should be seeing how much we can. Yeah, I can be this friend to you. And sometimes people have a different understanding of what friendship should be, and then you can't be that friend because it's beyond what you can do, and that's okay as well. You know, if this is what you're looking for in a friendship, I will never be able to do that because I can't really. And if you need anything else, I'll be there for you. But this particular request, I can honor it because it's beyond my capacity. You know, it's also possible.
Yeah, you know? That was a big word. Just staying in Proverbs, it says flattery works ruin.
Yes.
which, and I think we're talking about that, you know, you could flatter someone with certain things. And I always think of flattery as related to the word flutter. Mm-hmm. And you know that things that are lightweight, they flutter away like a feather. Like if you have a feather or a flower, the petal of a flower would get blown away very easily. And I could, you know, I could do that with a friendship.
Yes.
That's not really a friendship. I flatter the person. And I'm not really giving them something to help in their discernment, to help them when they're feeling like their weakness trying to take over them. I think a good friend is to say, you know, there's a weakness that you have there. You know, there's a weakness that you have there. And if you don't address that weakness, then you may find yourself in ruin. But rather than giving, you know, flattery, it works ruined. It's dangerous. It's like it's something that, you know, like, you know, that's the real test. What is the real test? The real test is, that again, it's in Proverbs about the honey of praise. Like if you're always praising somebody, then you know the idea is the friendship for your significance. Are you, you know, if you're always flattering and praising somebody to keep them near you and to keep them addressing you, then that's probably not friendship. That's probably a more manipulative relationship. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yes, absolutely, it is. And which is takes us to Proverbs 13:20. I think it was another verse that I have here in front of me. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And that just, you know, just like 1 Corinthians 15:33, where we are encouraged to choose our relationship wisely, you know. And I think in a way, like, I think for me, and again, I'm saying this with the understanding that I have blind spots, and maybe I'm doing the opposite of what I'm encouraging myself and others to do. But I don't want to be in that category of flattering because I don't want to ruin a relationship. And I certainly don't want to be in a relationship where all I get is flattery either, because it inflates my ego, it inflates my sense of greatness in the wrong way. So flattery doesn't help me at all. And though it makes me feel good on the time, I'm not saying I don't want to be encouraged, because there's also a difference between encouraging and being, you know, and falling to flattery. I heard a pastor sometimes say years ago, like he never, it was like 25 years ago, I never encouraged my staff because otherwise you would take their rewards from heaven.
And whoa. Thinking,
that is so weird.
That's a weird
like
one.
You are super weird if you think this way, you know.
And he's not very.
And I spoke to him at the end and says, he was a guest speaker at the church that I was going to in France at the time. And I went to him and said, I don't understand that. How can God decide, okay, they got their reward in heaven, they don't. And he based on the fact when you had your reward in heaven, you know, on the earth, you know, it's like, it's how much verses out of context can you get to come to a point where you will never say anything encouraging to the staff in your church? And I'm thinking, I don't want to be his friend. I don't, there's, you know, it's, yeah. I don't want to be your friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I didn't say that to him, but that's what I thought. So again, where's the line between being encouraging and being flatterous? Would that be a world?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Or being flattering. You know, what's the threshold of the line? But I think we know, because in our mind we know what motivates us to say something. Like when I hear something and I like it, you know, and I heard that I was encouraged, like Brad, you know, was here for 2 days. I think he encouraged me a lot.
Yes.
You know, and I told him that. And I says, you are, you know, I think you've been very, God has used your gifts. And I don't want people to think, well, it's not me, it's Jesus. He didn't say that at all. He took the encouragement humbly. But also the other thing is also, I want to be able to say that to people, because I want people, like, I don't, it encourages me when somebody says, you know, again, and we know that as leaders, we don't get encouraged every day. You know, it's funny. Pastor Matt Garrett, you know, I was training him to take over the Bible college. It was a few years ago. He took the Bible college 3 years ago, and him and I were worked for a year and a half together. And I was slowly, you know, handing on the baton in areas. So we had a plan, and I told him, you know, and it was sometimes we get in together and discussing leadership principles. And I told him, one thing you have to have in mind when you do leadership is that you don't get as much encouragement as you think you would, you know.
Yeah.
And I asked him a question. How many times do you think in 7 years of being the director of MBCNS, I got encouraged by students that spontaneously came to me just for the sake of, I heard people say, oh, great class tonight. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Somebody showed up and said, can I talk to you? Sit down in my office. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry as a director of the Bible. He goes, you know how many times it happened in 7 years? He said, no. He said, it happened three times, which is a lot. Three times.
Three, that's good.
And wow. I tell him, you know how many times people want to see me and complain about what I do? Mm. And I said, three times also per week. That's the difference on average. So the point being is, when you look at the encouragement versus the discouragement, it's always more present. So when you have friends who help you, you know, see your potential in Christ and see how, despite myself, I've been used by the Lord, you know, in areas, it's encouraging because we always feel inadequate anyways. So I want my friends to be able to see, well, yeah, I know we are inadequate because of transparency. We all know we're inadequate. But look at the grace of God that allows us to be used by Him anyway. That's very encouraging. So we need that. Now, the flattery would be, I want something from you, and we're going to build this relationship where we can benefit from each other. The only thing I see in the relationship is how much you can give me. That's when flattery becomes horrible. And we know in our hearts when flattery, when encouragement becomes flattery, because I want something from you.
Yeah.
And that is not healthy.
You have an agenda.
Yes.
And everything. Okay. So I'm going to say some things here as we close. Mm-hmm. This might seem interesting to some people, but... you should live your life before God.
Yes.
Your relationship with Christ will guide you. Yes, pray that God would bring people into your life that would encourage and help you. But you don't have to try to be friendly with everyone. Mm-hmm. When you become a member in particular of the body of Christ, you have an organic connection. He is the head. He is leading you. Mm-hmm. You might be a little finger that would be keep you far away from the ear or your little toe. You are still a part of the body of Christ. And you might at certain points in time feel like you are not significant, but you are. Mm-hmm. And everything, you are connected to the center of everything that's happening. So I get, you know, like that verse I quoted, well, the real problem, someone says, you just don't show yourself friendly enough. And I'm like going, what does that even mean? And then I saw a new translation that sometimes you can have too many friends. Yeah. One modern translation says a person can have too many friends.
Yes.
But really what we're looking for is those friends that are discerning. They help us to recognize our weaknesses and we can be free to say what we want to say. And we can take their rebuke and they take our rebuke. And sometimes that may mean a few days of silence. That's happened a couple of times with good friends of mine. Okay, I said something that I really needed to say, and it like they couldn't receive it at that time. But, you know, I knew that I had to say it, and that comes before God. You know, you stand or fall before God. And let's remember, He said, I am with you always. I am the friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will always have Christ at the center of that, of everything. So that relationship is the relationship I really have to nurture. Yes. And I can be discerning in the kind of friends I allow near me. Final thoughts.
No, that's the final thought. I think exactly what you summarized what we wanted to say. I think it's important to realize exactly that. God wants us to have, well, God's give us institutions, the church, marriage, family, friendship, and He wants us to succeed in all of those.
Yes.
And then He gave us the wisdom to enough wisdom for us to succeed. And that's all we're saying this morning. Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at what God cares about in our relationship. And just let's just walk in it, you know?
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
Amen.
Walk in it. Yep. That's right. Be a blessing. Walk with God and walk with the wise, and God will add to you such as you need. So, friends, our subscribers, you are awesome. That's awesome. We want to thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour show again today. We'll be discussing these topics through the week, the different hosts that are on here. So you can join every day at 11 o'clock, and you can listen again. Again, we are on YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. Mm-hmm. GraceHour.org is the podcast website. So enjoy and subscribe and be a part of us as much as possible. We're thankful for it. So for Philippe Siragi, I'm Steve Androlonis. Our engineer today has been Jehu Vandiver. Thankful for him being a friend to us, keeping us communicating. And God bless you on this Tuesday. Have a great rest of the week, everyone.